Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master, here on the GospelRadioNetwork.org. I am your host on this Friday morning, Preston McElyea, and I am coming to you from the GospelRadioNetwork.org studio at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. It is a blessing and a privilege to have this opportunity, as always, to host one of the mornings on Mornings for the Master. Of course, this program has been going on for I don't know how many years now. I believe when Mornings for the Master first began, I was actually in junior high at the time. And so now I've grown up a little bit since then. At least I like to tell myself I have. And now I'm blessed with the opportunity to serve as the minister at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. And it's a wonderful privilege. If you're ever in the Northeast Texas area, I invite you to come by and come visit with us at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. And if you're a listener of the Gospel Radio Network, let us know, and we can show you our studio here, and we'd be more than happy to get to know you, to see you in person, be able to show you where it is we're able to do these recordings, and talk a little more about how the GospelRadioNetwork.org is able to function and operate and send God's Word out throughout all the world. Well, on today's program, we are continuing our study of the book of 2 Thessalonians. The book of 2 Thessalonians. And today, we are specifically just going to be looking actually in verses 11 and 12, so it is possible this could be a little bit of a shorter program today. But as we look at 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 through 12, what we find in this section is Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. We need to see this in its context, you know, as this particular prayer and these particular verses appear within the grand scheme of things in the book of 2 Thessalonians. And so actually, this goes back up to the previous section of really verses 3 through 10, where we see Paul dealing with the Thessalonians and the Day of Judgment. But let's just go back up and let's read starting in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 1. We'll see the introduction of the book, verses 1 and 2. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as we then move into verses 3 through 10, we find the Thessalonians' endurance, and we find God's righteousness and how both of these things are connected in the Day of Judgment. 2 Thessalonians 1, starting in verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Well, that brings us up to our verses of focus today, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in these two verses, as we've already mentioned, this is Paul praying specifically for the brethren in Thessalonica, even now as it relates to the Day of Judgment. That's why verse 11 begins by saying, therefore, we also pray always. Well, therefore, it connects it back up into the previous section. It's because of the way that the Thessalonians were enduring their persecutions. It's because they were able to endure the persecutions with great patience. They were able to maintain their faith. They were able to maintain their love based on verses 3 and 4 that we read just a moment ago. But also, it's because of God's righteous judgments based on verses 5 through 10 of this chapter. Because of these things, well, Paul says, we also pray always for you. Well, of course, we there in that prayer goes back up to the introduction in verses 1 and 2, where we find that it's not just Paul who is sending the letter, but it's Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. So all three were praying always for the brethren. Now, Paul had previously given the command in his first letter to the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, Paul gave the command to pray without ceasing. Of course, at that time, he said, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, based on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Well, again, part of God's will for all of us in Christ Jesus is that we pray without ceasing. That's why Paul gave that as an imperative command in the original language. So now Paul is showing a great example of what it looks like to pray without ceasing. Paul says, I am praying without ceasing. I am praying always for you. Well, Paul already mentioned the fact that he was praying always for them. Even if we just go back up to a verse we read a little bit ago, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. But as Paul was always praying for the brethren, he shows a certain amount of concern. Of course, he says in verse 11, therefore we also pray always for you. Paul's concern and Silvanus and Timothy, their concern in these particular prayers was not for themselves. They weren't focused on self in these prayers or what they might have to gain or benefit from God's blessings. But instead, the prayers, and at least based on this particular passage here, these specific prayers, as it related to the Thessalonians, were focused on the Thessalonians. It shows they were concerned for their brethren. Paul's prayers were not centered on himself. Would have been easy for Paul to make it all about himself. Would have been easy for Paul to make it all about himself, seeing as he had been driven from them and he couldn't be there with them, and he always wanted to be there with them, but things kept popping up. We studied in 1 Thessalonians some time ago now how it was that Satan even was hindering him from being there. Paul easily could have made this prayer for the Thessalonians about himself, but instead he kept it focused on them. And that's a regular thing that Paul did for the brethren, not just in Thessalonica, but the brethren worldwide at the time. We could look in Romans chapter 1 and verse 9 to see how Paul was constantly in prayer for the brethren in Rome. Philippians 1 and verse 4, he was constantly in prayer for the brethren in Philippi. Colossians 1 and verse 3, he was constantly in prayer for the brethren in Colossae. Philemon verse 4, he was constantly in prayer for Philemon. Again, these are just examples to show the type of concern that Paul had in his prayers for his brethren. Well, as we look at and as we consider Paul's consistent and his considerate prayers on the behalf of others, think about what this might cause us to reflect on for ourselves. It ought to make us stop to think about our own prayers. Now, at times, we find ourselves praying for ourselves, and that's okay, right? You look at Jesus as he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying, if there's any other way, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was praying for himself in that moment. We can even look in John 17, where we actually find the Lord's Prayer, that is the true Lord's Prayer in John 17. Many people consider Matthew chapter 6 to be the Lord's Prayer. That's simply a model prayer. But in John 17, the very first part of that chapter, what's recorded there is Jesus prays first for himself But then we look throughout the rest of the chapter, and the majority of that prayer is focused on the disciples who were there with him, as well as the disciples like ourselves who would believe on him based on the word of his immediate disciples. Well, I say all that to say, when we consider the prayers of Paul, we consider the prayers even of Jesus. At times, we may pray for ourselves. That's right. That's good. That's an authorized thing to do. But how often are we truly praying for others? And as we pray for others, how often are we truly praying for their good, even if we stand nothing to gain from it? We should constantly be considerate of others, especially for our brethren, through prayers. Well, as we keep looking in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we're looking in verse 11. And the latter half of 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 11 tells us what Paul was praying for, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. That's the first aspect of this particular prayer. So when we look at this part of what Paul was praying for, Paul's praying that God would find the Thessalonians worthy. This is not the first time Paul has written about the Thessalonians being counted worthy. Go back up, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5, and Paul said as it related to their endurance with patience in the tribulation and the persecution they were facing, Paul said that that was manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that they be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which they also suffered. And so now in verse 11, he's praying that God would continue even to count them worthy of this calling. They were going to be counted worthy by our God. Okay, well, how then does one be counted or one be made worthy by God? Well, it deals with faithful obedience. That's the whole point being made back up in verse 5 that we looked at. But looking in that immediate section there, verses 3 through 5, it all has to do with how they maintain their faith through difficult circumstances. That's what allowed them, by their obedience, to be considered worthy of the kingdom. And that is what it is they were going to be counted worthy for. Now, this particular calling here in verse 11 seems to be speaking of the way in which God in Christ Jesus will be glorified in us. Go back up into verse 10. Verse 10, as it relates to the judgment day, as it relates to Jesus coming back. Well, verse 10 says that Jesus was going to be glorified in his saints and be admired among all who believe. You look in verse 12. Verse 12 tells us that part of this prayer has to do with that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. Verse 11 is sandwiched by the idea of glory, of glorification. And so, what Paul's prayer is that by their obedient faith, not only are they going to be continue to be counted worthy of the kingdom, but they also can be worthy of the calling that they will be able to glorify God and Christ Jesus. When we talk about being glorified, or we talk about glorification, it's important that we understand what it is that we are talking about. To glorify or to be glorified is the idea of being honored, being made great, being covered entirely with that which is greater. And so Christ Jesus is going to be glorified. He's going to be highly exalted in his saints who are faithful, keep in mind. Verse 10. Paul's prayer is that these faithful brethren would be able to be glorified, or that the name of the Lord Jesus be glorified in them, and they be glorified in him. It is through obedience to the call of the gospel that we are able to truly glorify Christ Jesus through our faith. It all has to do with that obedience. And so whenever one is made worthy of the calling, even as Paul prayed for the Thessalonians, Paul's prayer was also that God would fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. In addition to being found worthy, Paul's desire for the brethren was that God would grant the Thessalonians all good things within his will. That's important to keep in mind. We're looking at things within the will of God here. To fulfill is to truly make complete. And Paul's prayer is that all the good pleasure of God's will would be made complete, and that the work of faith with power would be made complete. So let's take a moment to consider these. All the good pleasure of his will, speaking of God's will, well, understand that this is what we have, at least in our English translations here. If you're using a New King James or a King James, I typically use a New King James, you might notice the word there, that pronoun his, is actually italicized. Well, when we see something in our English translations like that, at least in King James, New King James, where it's italicized, that actually means that that is a word added in by the translators that's not in the original text. Now, they add that word in to try and help our understanding and how to try to help the particular verse or the sentence make more sense in English. Nothing wrong with them doing that. But if the intention here of Paul's prayer is the idea of the goodness of God's will being made complete, I think, however, that maybe Paul had a different idea in mind. For example, if we were to look in a different translation, that's a good habit to get into when it comes to Bible study. Just for example, to look over in the New American Standard. New American Standard translates this verse to say that in the prayer that he would fulfill every desire for goodness. What difference does this make? It lets us see that it's not necessarily specific to God's goodness here. So rather than just being God's goodness, it opens it up to being even the goodness of the Thessalonians. And it was this goodness that the Thessalonians were to be sharing and showing with everyone. This type of goodness is defined as a positive moral quality characterized especially by interest or by an interest in the welfare of others. Well, is this not what Paul has already commended the Thessalonians for doing? For showing this goodness? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. It seems that Paul was praying that their efforts of love to show God's goodness to others would be made full, that it could be made complete, even including the work of faith with power. Now, this is a fun one here. When we look at this verse, we see the phrase work of faith. Well, what's implied by that? The implication we can take based on this particular phrase, work of faith, is that faith must therefore be active. Faith necessitates work. The Thessalonians were actively showing their faith, that is, they were showing their conviction and trust in God even by their work. This work of faith is what the Thessalonians had been showing from the very beginning of their obedience. If you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul there said he remembered without ceasing the work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the sight of God our Father. Since Paul was praying that their work of faith might be fulfilled, there's an important lesson for us to learn. The lesson is that it's possible then to stop showing that faith. It's possible for our faith to be incomplete. Without showing faith, we will not be able to be counted worthy of the kingdom. And so both the goodness and work of faith were to be completed with power. This power would be what made the Thessalonians' goodness and their active faith both possible and effective. Now, what this power is speaking of specifically, we can't exactly say. Perhaps it's similar to the power that Paul had mentioned that they received, in which they received the gospel based on 1 Thessalonians 1 in verse 5. And if that's the case, then this would be dealing with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's perhaps some credibility to that, even if we look at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there around verse 19, where we can see some of the different miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit that these brethren in Thessalonica had. But again, we can't say with any specificity what exactly the power being spoken of there is. But what we do know is Paul was praying that by whatever power that was, they would be made complete doing all of or showing all goodness, and that their work of faith be perfected. As a result of their goodness and their clear faith, the Thessalonians would no doubt be counted worthy of the calling. So when praying for the Thessalonians, Paul shows some specificity here. He prays specifically that they be counted worthy of the calling. Again, that calling dealing with glorification based on our context. And he's praying that God would fulfill all the good pleasure of goodness and the work of faith with power. That brings us then into verse 12. Another aspect of this particular prayer is even that in this prayer, Paul is praying to God that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified in the Thessalonians, and that the Thessalonians be glorified in him. That is, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at the first part of verse 12, it's important to see the connection. We need to see the connection between verses 11 and 12 that Paul here is talking about this prayer even further. Keep in mind these verses were, or the verse numbers were added in by our translators, and that the original letter, Paul didn't have a little superscript 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and keep going from there to show these verses. This is something our translators have put in to try and help us. More often than not, it is helpful, but at times it can become a little bit distracting and cause us to break these letters and to break contexts up into different chunks, and sometimes we miss the big idea. Say that to say, verses 11 and 12 are connected. Verse 12, we find Paul, you know, furthering the prayer, that showing his desire that Jesus be glorified, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. Well, Paul had already let the Thessalonians know that if they were faithful and obedient unto him, in the day of judgment, Jesus was going to be glorified in them as saints, as the holy ones, as the obedient ones. Paul's desire was that the Thessalonians be among those saints. Well, how would they be able to be a part of the saints? Again, that's through their faithful obedience. But we can look forward to having the same effect, to being able to glorify Christ Jesus in the day of judgment, if we too will be faithful and obedient unto him. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to be able to exalt, that is, to glorify Jesus for all that he is. As he says there, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. The name was understood at that time to speak for the entirety of that being. That the name of Jesus speaks for all that he is and all who he is. It speaks for everything that he stands for everything that he has done. Well, it's important as well when we consider the specific name that Paul gives, our Lord Jesus Christ. If he is truly our Lord, it means that he is our master. He's the one to whom we should humbly submit, and more than that, he's the one to whom all should submit, for all authority has been given to him in power and on earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. He is Jesus. Jesus, he is the one who saves. Matthew 1, verse 21. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But he's also the Christ. That means as the Christ, he is the promised. He is the anointed one of God. He is the Messiah. He's the one that everything in the Old Testament was pointing toward. And he's the one that everything in the New Testament is even pointing back to. By extension, Paul's desire is not just that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in the Thessalonians, but by extension, his desire is that the Thessalonians themselves also be glorified, that they would be glorified in the Lord Christ Jesus. This is a secondary benefit to glorifying Christ himself. In order for the Thessalonians to be glorified, they first had to do something. To be glorified, the Thessalonians would first have to walk worthy of their calling so that Jesus be glorified in them. That means that the Thessalonians would therefore have to be faithful and obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ so that he could be glorified in them, but so that they also could be glorified in him. that tells us that there are certain blessings that come along with obedience. If we had the time, if it worked out better, we could go and look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 and following, where we could see a list there of just some of the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus, and some of those spiritual blessings that come along with obedience. So here Paul just gives us another one that we could add to that list if we're keeping a list ourselves of that, that truly we can be glorified in Christ Jesus through faithful obedience. But let's keep the background in mind. Don't forget what these Thessalonians were going through. Because of their obedience, they were undergoing persecution and hardship in the moment. Paul already dealt with that, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 3 through 5. But Paul says, okay, I understand. I realize you're dealing with hardship, you're dealing with persecution, you're dealing with difficulty right now because of your obedience. But look ahead to what you have coming. Look ahead to how it is when you glorify Christ Jesus and when he's glorified in you. Realize that in the end, because of your faithful obedience, because of your endurance, you too will be glorified in him. What a great blessing that is. What better person is there to be exalted by than our Lord Christ Jesus himself? This would have been a great encouragement to the Thessalonians, but this should also be a great encouragement to us. It should be a great encouragement so long as we are working to live our lives in a worthy manner of the calling each and every day. No matter what it is we may be facing, we can take comfort in knowing that through our continued faithfulness, we will be exalted in Christ Jesus. The reason that this is possible is found in the end of verse 12. At the end of verse 12, Paul says, "These things are according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." Glorification is only possible, and it will only result by the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In and of themselves, the Thessalonians could not glorify God. If it's just up to us, we cannot truly glorify God. This is just another reminder of the importance of God's grace. Now, as we introduced our study in 2 Thessalonians some time ago now, we considered in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, when Paul said, "Grace and peace to you," the significance of grace. How important grace is to the lives of each and every one of us. But notice to whom this grace is given. The grace is given to those who are obedient to the call. It's given to those who work to walk worthy of the call with all goodness and evidence of faith. We cannot have God's grace without the Lord Jesus Christ, for truly in him grace is found. Paul had a specific purpose in mind as he continually prayed this prayer for the Thessalonians. Well, knowing God's righteous judgment, knowing that his righteous judgment would come and that the hardships being faced by the Thessalonians, Paul let his brethren know that he was continually praying for them. And Paul's continual prayer was that his brethren in Thessalonica might be able to continue to show the goodness and faith by the power of God, in order that they may be found worthy by God to both glorify Christ Jesus while he glorified them, all by the grace of God and Christ Jesus. Emphasizing the importance of this continued obedience to continually be found worthy was necessary due to the situation that Paul would go on to address. And having dealt with the Thessalonians and the judgment, even going back up into verse 3, well, Paul continues this letter by addressing the Thessalonians in chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, as it relates to lawlessness. Well, as I mentioned at the start of our program this morning, all our focus today was going to be was in verses 11 and 12. And so I mentioned at that time, of course, that this may be a little bit of a shorter program, and that's what it's turned out to be, but that's all right. But before we conclude our program for this morning, if you would go with me in a word of prayer. Our Lord God and Father in heaven, we humbly come before you in prayer today, thanking you so much for all of the wonderful blessings that you've given to us. Father, we thank you so much for giving us your word that we can study from, that we can learn from, that we can understand and know what it is you desire from us. We pray that we might always work to walk in such a way that can be found worthy. Father, we pray that we would always strive to be faithful and to be more obedient to you so that we can be prepared to truly glorify your Son, Christ Jesus. That when the day of judgment comes, we can be counted among the faithful, that we can be among all of the saints, that we can be found holy, and that we can lift up and exalt your Son. We pray, dear God, that all goodness might be fulfilled, that the work of faith could be fulfilled. Father, we pray that Jesus, that his name could be glorified in us in all things that we do. And we pray that we could even be glorified in him according to your grace. And Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for all that is made available to us, for all that is made possible because of your goodness toward us, because you are willing to give us that which it is we do not deserve, and because you have done so. We thank you for the grace that you've shown us through your Son, Jesus, and we pray all things through him. Amen. Well, again, I want to thank you for joining us this Friday morning on Mornings for the Master here on thegospelradionetwork.org. It's been a privilege to be your host today, and I look forward to the next opportunity I have to sit down and to record another lesson from God's Word. I pray that you continue in God's grace, that you continue learning and growing in Him. I pray that your love in Him might abound, and I hope and pray that you will continue listening to thegospelradionetwork.org.